Welcome back to the program, and we're going to continue our focus. Today's entire show is devoted to aspects of climate change that are a little lesser known, and we do cover all, well, almost all aspects of climate change. So if we're digging into the corners, you know it must be something important, because otherwise we wouldn't bother taking up your time. But this is a good one, and that is about how, mascot madness is what they're calling it, March Madness, about to get underway. I think tomorrow it starts. How could climate change be impacting campus spirit and campus icons? We're going to turn to Josh Sachs with the National Wildlife Federation. He's their legislative director, to find out about that connection that I never would have thought of. Welcome to the program, Josh.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Now, I suspect this is kind of a clever way of using what popular culture is focused on, basketball, sports, you name it, to factor climate change into the equation in a way that those dots might not have been connected on their own.
That's right. Every day here at National Wildlife Federation, we think about climate change as the greatest threat affecting wildlife, but we always look for new ways to get it into the public eye and to have people think about climate change. And we're also big basketball fans here, and as we were gearing up for the tournament and looking at all the teams, it dawned on us that so many of these schools are represented by mascots that would be dramatically impacted by climate change. And we thought, what a great opportunity to talk about two things we like, wildlife and basketball, altogether. So, as you said, we put out a report. It's called Mascot Madness, How Climate Change is Hurting School Spirit. People can check it out at our website, nwf.org/mascots. And the report talks about 11 categories of animals or different things that are being impacted by climate change. It mentions 20 teams that have made the tournament and many teams, unfortunately, that didn't make the tournament. And we think it's a great way to talk about climate change and to elevate a very important issue.
So what kind of response have you gotten, since this is kind of an unusual angle and you don't usually see sports connected to, you know, scientific facts and the climate crisis?
Well, we've been getting a great response and having a lot of fun. Congresswoman Donna Edwards from Maryland joined us on a telepress conference and talked to a lot of people about it and made some great connections to her state and her district. We've seen people tweeting about it, and frankly, a lot of basketball fans have come our way who don't necessarily think about climate change every day.
So,
we've also we got great reaction from the schools, and some of the athletic directors from schools came out and did press events with us. We were just up at Villanova University. Of course, the Villanova Wildcat is going to be in danger. We got to have our mascot, Ranger Rick, join their mascot and talk about the event. So it's really been going great.
Wolverines, is that on the list?
The Michigan Wolverine, of course, is on the list, and they also are, you know, a second seed in the tournament. So we hope that in the tournament the Wolverines are going to fare better than they have in real life. In fact, there are very few of them left in Michigan, and in the lower 48 there are probably less than 300 Wolverines.
Okay, I'm a city gal. Tell me, what's the difference between a wolf and a Wolverine?
Oh, they're very different. That's like the difference between a lion and a bear. A wolf is
my bad.
But a wolverine is a small, about 20-30 pound animal that lives in deep snowpack, traditionally in the upper northern part of the United States. But because of the decline in, or the change in climate and the decline in snowpack, the wolverine has had a hard time.
Mm. I know there's a little critter that has had a hard time with climate change, going ever higher up mountainsides. Pika? Mika? What are they called? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the pika. Unfortunately, that's not a college mascot, but it's a great point that animals across the board are being impacted by climate change, and it's happening in a number of ways. You know, some animals are dependent on sort of wetland areas and low-lying areas, and as sea level rises, those areas disappear. Those are animals like the Florida panther or the gator. You know, we're seeing animals that are dependent on cold weather. Mountain lions are struggling because there isn't any cold anymore. And animals like the bison, where we've seen a tremendous rebound in population, they're seeing a tremendous decrease in weight, actually. As the temperature rises, they actually lose weight, and that's hurting them. So it's across the board, this problem.
So, Josh, what are you asking students and athletes and sports fans, basketball buffs, to do about this? I'm sure you want to raise awareness, but also somehow activate this population.
Well, of course. And there are a number of climate solutions already out there. And we know President Obama has put forward his climate plan, and he's working hard to cap carbon emissions. You know, states and communities are doing a lot to work on climate resiliency. And what we're hoping for with this report really is that people engage and let their voice be heard, whether that's calling their member of Congress or going and joining their campus ecology club for an event. There are a lot of ways people can engage. But all we really want is, just like people get up and cheer for their teams, we need them to get up and cheer about this cause and make sure that everyone engages in helping us solve this long-term problem.
Mm. And March Madness is one thing, but isn't it some form of madness the way we have kind of turned the other way and looked away from what's happening on many environmental fronts, but specifically with climate? And how can we turn that around? Maybe madness is the wrong word, but a bit of insanity, if insanity is the denial of reality.
Absolutely. And this is the problem of our generation, of our time. It's something that certainly has to be solved. And there's no question that the United States government, the world leaders, you know, countries around the world have not done enough to deal with this problem. This is not a long-term future problem. It's a now problem. And certainly there needs to be more engagement. That's why NWF does things like this mascot report, because public education, public engagement is the way we're going to get that to happen.
I know you, I'm not sure if you still do, but a few years back we're having like a national camp out. Is that still happening?
We do.
And that was another original way to, I guess, connect the dots to the importance of nature and getting out of it.
Absolutely. Every summer we do a great event. It's called the Great American Backyard Campout, and we encourage families to go camp out in their backyard. For a lot of people, they've never gone camping in their lives, and just to get out in the backyard is a great first step and a great way for people to enjoy the nature around them and to build a connection with it. So we do that event every year. We're planning on it again this coming spring, and hopefully your listeners will come out and camp in their backyards.
Now, so, and what about, you know, National Wildlife Federation's been active, as all the big green organizations have, on the Keystone Pipeline issue. What's, you know, up or coming up, or, you know, any more campaigns that you're planning to really make the public aware about some of the, you know, downsides of this Keystone project in terms of impact on climate and health?
Sure. Well, we're in the final push on the Keystone Pipeline. All the environmental impact statements and everything are done, and now the final step is something called the National Interest Determination, and that's where the president actually looks at all the data, hears from his agencies, and makes a final decision. So certainly we are gearing up to make a big final push as well. We're going to try to make a lot of noise, let landowners be heard, let people who care about climate change be heard. We don't have an event ready to announce right now, but certainly there are a lot of things on the horizon. I'd be thrilled to come back and talk to you about that more as they develop.
Okay, well, we are wrapping up this show next week, so we'll have to be on another platform, but we're not going away. We're just trying to get out there, talk to college campus students, and also working on a book with my co-host, E.R. Tucker, who I should say was kind enough to set up this interview, and the previous one with Linda Marsa. Even though he couldn't join us today, he does have a day job, so sometimes he can sneak out of his office, and sometimes he's actually been on the call from the men's room. That's how devoted he is. And D.R. Tucker, for those of our listeners who somehow missed it, because I love this story, was a former Republican climate skeptic who's turned into such a passionate activist that he gets up early just so he can scan the Internet for all the latest stories on climate. So we just have a minute or so left, Josh. Just any final thoughts on what National Wildlife Federation would like our listeners to know about what's going on with their climate?
Well, we'd like them to know it's a problem that impacts every part of our lives, and even when you're sitting and watching the March Madness basketball tournament, climate change is something that's having a real impact on our lives, and anything that the public can do to make sure our elected officials and our leaders take steps to address this concern, that's the number one thing.
Absolutely, and we always like to say that, or I've said many times, if we could just take a fraction of all the passion and money and interest and media attention, mainstream media attention that goes into sports, you know, professional sports, if we could just take a fraction of that and put it into solving the climate crisis, we might just win this one.
Absolutely.
So thanks for bringing those two disparate or seemingly disconnected entities together, if we can call climate change an entity. But I appreciate what you're doing there, making it, you know, putting an original spin on it. I think that's what we need to do, just to get, you know, sort of the popular culture on board to see that this does have an impact on things they care about, people they care about, animals they care about.
That's what we're trying to do. Thank you.
Okay. Josh Sachs is the Legislative Director with the National Wildlife Federation. They are based in Washington, D.C. We are based here in sunny, too warm, California. But we're always available on the net, and our archives will be available at www.thegreenfront.com, as well as on PRN.FM, at least for a while. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week with, I think, our very last program on this wonderful network. So please tell your friends to tune in, and the archives, again, will be available as we go on to other green projects. Have a great green week.